You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Everybody, it's Friday night and it's time for chaos.
Perfectly timed, Troy.
Right before we start, we just silence and then I stop looking at everyone and launch into yelling at the screen. Was someone taking a drink or a breath? Or
yeah, they, the process taking drinking. A big old sip.
Almost, big old sip of whiskey.
Almost made me spit take my green tea all over my microphone.
Normally, like when I'm watching people, I'll make like a really inappropriate joke as they're drinking just to get that spit take. That was accidental. So I'm glad it happened. Welcome back, everybody. Shout out as always to our sponsor, Chaosium, the publisher of Call of Cthulhu. Have you gone out and bought these books yet? My God, I'm like preparing already for the season finale. And I'm like, man, these next seven episodes, there's so much going on. There's so much left to do. And we're off at Eagles Grange. And I'm like, you know what I need to do is like, take a couple minutes every day and just reacquaint myself with these rules because there's just going to be a lot going on and I want to know it so I don't even have to worry about it when we get into the thick of things. You know, I was thinking right before we started, I was like, we got to get a physical hang of this group together sometime, whether we're playing in a studio together, we could do that. Obviously, it always work, but like, we got to get a good, like a nice dinner in a place that's fancy and yeah. like dark and
get
maybe 19
sours
and Pisco sours. Wouldn't that be fun?
Have we never been, has there always been one person missing?
Yeah.
No, we've been physically in the same space, but it was around like 50 other Glass Cannon-y people.
Yeah.
In LA last year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We need to get like a proper dinner in like a place that where everything is oak. I just imagine there's oak and there's cocktails that come to the table and the waiter's like, just take the box off when you've had enough smoke, sir.
And we cosplay our characters the whole time.
We could do that. I imagine Nora with a long cigarette holder, perhaps. Just let the whiskey flow and see what happens.
It's just one of those cigarettes that's made out of like chewing gum.
We just blow out powdered sugar. That's the one thing about like remote recording, especially remote recording with people from all over, is like we never get to physically hang. And obviously playing in person is better. I'm glad to play at all, but it would be nice to get a hang going. So
yeah,
okay, you're in charge.
Sure.
Oh, all right.
God damn it. Are you a good organizer?
Yes, I am, to a fault, and I'll do it, and I'll do it really good, but I'll don't wanna, but I will. But it's going to be great.
The second step, and I'll take care of the second step, is we should do a live record. Oh, no, just like an in-person recording or like something at some point, whether we just fly Nora and Ross and Rob out to New York.
The next time Improvised Shakespeare goes to New York, Ross will be there.
Yeah.
So then it's just me and Nora.
We'll fly you guys out.
Or we just meet in the middle and do a show in Wichita, Kansas.
Good old Wichita.
I'll just drive there.
We can do a live Call of Cthulhu like mystery dinner thingy that they like murder mystery dinner.
Oh, that's Wait fun. A little whodunit. Did you ever do one of those murder mystery like at Boston College? They had this thing. I think I went once and I was like, this is not for me, but it was like everyone there is, you know, you're either a guest or you're part of the show and it's a mingling. I forgot all about those. So you just said that. Nora. Did you ever?
I've never been to one.
I feel like my career is heading there rapidly. So I'll be doing it.
I feel like as a two auditions away. I've never done them, but I feel like everyone there as a participant isn't on the same level as you. Some people are there to hang out and like have the show be a side thing.
Yeah.
And then some people like me would be really into it.
Right.
Take it and seriously. It's just not the same if other people aren't really into it.
That's like, I feel like everyone's like, we should go to an escape room. And I'm like, I want to go by myself because I want to just figure it out by myself. I don't want teamwork and all that.
Teamwork.
Yeah. So
I've realized that escape rooms are not for me because they're my least favorite part of a D&D. I don't like the puzzles.
Yeah.
I don't like a puzzle. Do you like a jigsaw puzzle?
No.
What about a crossword puzzle?
Like if I'm on a plane and there's nothing else, I don't know. Like not to say like they don't have like parts that are fun. Like there are some puzzles that I found fun, but generally speaking, in my experience with playing like home D&D games, like the puzzle part's my least favorite part. Let's just fucking get this over with. Just figured out. I want to go do the next thing.
On to the next thing.
Well, I just don't want to interact with anybody in character. Like when they're in character and I'm not, I'm like, what do we do? I know where you're at. I know where your head's at right now. We don't have to play this charade with one another.
My worst fear in going to a live performance, even as a performer, as someone with an MFA in acting, is that they'll be like, do you want to come up on stage? Yeah. And the whole thing of these murder mysteries is that's the entire emotion from the minute you walk in the door.
One of my favorite Onion headlines, very relatable, and I think it's this or something along these lines, is, oh dear God, no, performers coming into audience.
Yes, that is my guess.
And I should say, I've done short form improv for a long time. So.
Oh, man. What a nightmare. What a
kettle
nightmare.
Is black.
Ross, do you like a, I guess it's not dinner theater. It's more of a murder mystery.
Yeah. I've never been to one. I've never been to like one of the fully immersive ones. Do you know what Tony and Tina's Wedding is?
Mm-hmm.
This was like sort of an immersive, show that was like attending a wedding party where like you were served catering like it was a wedding, but there were a bunch of characters. And if you wanted to, you could kind of roam around and interact with all the characters and a sort of story played out, but you could go, I guess, multiple times and have a different experience each time. It was in the same building that housed Second City in Chicago. So I would always kind of like walk by it. But yeah, I guess it would be kind of like that, except in the middle of it, like, there's been a murder.
I went to one in like Framingham once because my cousin was in it and I was in high school. And we were all really like psyched to see him. We were like, this was like his first acting gig. It was like, let's go, Matty Brown. And it was fun. Like, you know, they're doing a lot of improv. They're fucking around. I think they're trying to make each other laugh, which is fun. But then I, of course, you know, was like, well, I don't like everyone else having this spotlight. So when it came time to do the who you think did it or whatever, I was like, Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the library. Like I wrote it down. And then of course, one of the guys was like, what's this one? Who wrote this? And I was just like, yes. And then he's just like, sit down. I just had to
sit down. Yeah, yeah. The worst part of any show, Troy, is that it's not me getting all that attention.
That is right. Part of my problem.
You just unlocked a memory for me, though, Rob. I feel like we played a murder mystery type game. This was like
we did.
It wasn't a role playing game, but it was a role playing game.
Yeah,
without
we had
dice.
A box, and we all got into different outfits. And
it's like that episode of The Office. There's been a murder in Savannah. It was we played a game like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember how it worked, but it was fun. I mean, it was all the theater kids. It was like, you know.
Yeah, we got all the theater kids together, high school theater kids, and it was a good time.
It was fun.
Yeah. We should do that again.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the next level. I'm always looking for the next thing. Maybe we're going to do live dinner theater-y type murder mystery, and we're going to – first, let's get a dinner. Kate, you'll take care of all this.
Yeah, let's
do
that.
Yeah, let me just call my agent that books dinners.
Are you guys all going to Gen Con? Let me put you on the spot here on this live episode.
I don't know. I haven't been told anything about it. Is Gen Con, are you guys go? What's the plan?
We're going. Plan's a little different this year. Let me know. Okay. We'll talk about it.
You know what, Troy? I think I am.
Oh, really?
Tentatively, I can say that I think I am. A couple improviser friends of mine and I are maybe going to be putting up a show there.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Tentative.
Maybe you've heard of them, Wayne Brady and Ryan Stiles.
Yes. They're spelled differently, but all very cool people. Actually, it's are my good friends and yours, Mary Lou, and Sarah Kaplan, who's another.
Sarah was on one of our shows.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, she did gamer. We've all done Game Garage.
Yes. We've all done improv together in LA, and we're going to see about putting up a show. At Gen Con, but
nice.
I've maybe made the mistake of saying that's gonna that might happen when it's not altogether nailed down, but I think it's I think I'm going to speaking it into the universe so that it will happen.
Manifest it.
This is how spell work.
That's one more reason to go.
Well, here's something funny. On Friday, August 2nd, I have a theater booked for a live Call of Cthulhu show that I haven't cast yet. So
last year's was fun.
If anybody sitting in this room would be interested in being part of it, maybe just send me a text after
I'm
or during
up.
This.
Okay. And I'm going to sit down on stage.
Much like this wood-paneled dinner might be taking place in beautiful Indianapolis.
And you've got a perfect spot, right? Troy, don't you guys go to some...
Do a little St. Elmo's? Put it on the cup?
Yeah. That's the perfect spot.
All right. So you heard it here first. Friday, August 2nd. Time for Chaos Live. But for now, let's talk about episode 13 of season 2. We can't talk about episode 13 without talking about episode 12. That was a lot that went on. It's one of those things that, like, did I say it during the episode or, like, in our post-debrief that was, like, it was the Chekhov's gun of season 2, like we mentioned. Once Eagles Grange was out there, you knew you were going to end up there. But it wasn't until I looked over Michael's notes that I was like, holy shit, I forgot that this started back in Lesser Edale. So much happened last episode. We pick up last week with you dealing with the aftermath of killing, having to kill, being faced with an impossible decision, having to kill Eloise Vane in her ghoul form after she almost wiped out almost the entire party, certainly some of you, left some of you with major wounds, psychological scars. There's nothing you can do for her, but you are able, with some clutch roles, able to help the two young Osgood children. One of them may even not have to have their leg be amputated after it was being chewed on by Eloise in her ghoul form. Unfortunately, you know, the Vanes, it seems like, you know, we never really got too much into it, but it doesn't seem like Lord Arthur Vane is the understanding type. Probably thought you could have done more, so you didn't win any friends per se, but you did save that community. And then you leave there, and you do some healing, enough so that Feyruz and Carter removed their major wound condition, which was huge. Rob is experimenting with some flash photography.
I turned my Bluetooth off because I wanted to save battery, and it zoomed me in. So enjoy my nostrils tonight, everybody.
Well, you don't have a major wound, which was great. And you begin the healing process, and you think to yourself, we're out here in the country. We have to, like, regroup for a second. You've been talking about going to Vaughn's ancestral home. No time like the present, because you can't just go stampeding back into trouble without, you know, getting a little rest and recuperation. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone, and you head to Eagle's Grange. And upon arriving, Vaughn very quickly notices that things have changed. This is not the home that he remembers leaving not too long ago. After Peru, was it? You came and spent some time there before New York, left some of your journals and books behind in your room. Everything has been turned into a bed and breakfast. You stampede in there looking for answers, and your mother is waiting for you in the drawing room, and you speak to her, and you introduce her to your fiancé, and causes it a bit of a distancing between your mother and you, and she seems to be okay with it. She's being very passive-aggressive in her response to you about this. Meanwhile, Carter and Margot are forced to share a room as well at this little B&B. And there's all sorts of characters visiting this place, one of which is a young lady by the name of Miss Jasmine Pink, a medium, a psychic, who has a little shop in London. She's traveling through the country on the way to her visit her parents. Turns out her parents aren't home, so she was like, I'll just stop at this cute little B&B to bide the time. as she notices you, she gets the sense that, like, there are these spirits surrounding you. And you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, if someone said that to you, you'd be like, all right, crazy lady, get out of here. But your mind has been opened up to other things. And she's very insistent about it. She's like, I could do perhaps a seance for you. And you're open to it. So later that night, you are taken into a room. She dims the lights, candles are up, and she starts the seance. And at first it seems kind of silly. Then all of a sudden a wind seems to enter the room. All the windows are closed. The candle wicks start flickering. And then all the lights go out except like one or two. And she changes. Her eyes go up in her head. And Vaughn, you hear the voice of your father talking to you and your brother and then like weeping. But that voice then changes into another voice, and it sounds like Jackson Elias. And Jackson starts spouting some crazy things. It's unclear whether or not you are communicating with him or if his spirit is on some sort of loop talking about something and talking in riddles. He says, Fansigar, Fansigar, they are among you with their pretty yellow nooses. Then he spouts something off in Spanish. He talks about shadows following his every step, the fog following him to his hotel, needing to get out of London. And then that voice supplanted by another one, something that is beyond voice. I think I described it as sounds that were trying to funnel their way into your mind in such a way that you could understand the language. And the voice says that you've come a long way since the pyramids. You tried to cut my tongue off in New York. Yet look, I still speak. The time has come. The time for chaos. And then Miss Jasmine Pink bursts into flames. We pick up there today. Let's start with a luck roll. It's a little anticlimactic, but I want to give you that luck.
Because I need it.
I'm going to give you that chance for luck.
Thank you, thank you.
6 points.
6 points.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, man. So, so much must be going through your head. You went from like just moments ago being like, what are we doing? This is so silly and pointless, to voices from beyond contacting you, and then some entity, some great, powerful entity speaking directly to you. The psychic bursts into flames. Everyone give me a sanity roll.
Okay.
It's not every day.
Otto.
You see, someone spontaneously combust.
Yeah. Well, the lucky thing is I got a little bit of luck back. But we all know what happens when Vaughn does this sort of thing.
Old and definitely insane Vaughn. Fail.
And I failed as well.
Two fails. What about Margot the Unflappable?
Hard pass.
Hard, but no one likes a Breckert.
guess what? Also hard.
Oh, right then. 1 point of sanity loss to Margot and Carter, even what? On a save. And Feyruz and Vaughn lose 1d6.
Oh, no.
Now, a couple things are going to happen. Feyruz specifically, if you were to lose 5 or 6 here, then you have to roll an intelligence check to see if you fully comprehend this. And then we'll talk. Vaughn, if you even lost 1 point, bad things happen. So let's.
Wouldn't you know it? I rolled a 1.
You rolled a 1. Okay, that's
the least worst terrible thing.
The least worst terrible thing. All right, so you lose 1 point of sanity. You're about to have what is known in the book as a bout of madness, since you are indefinitely insane. Your sanity is so razor thin, just hanging by a thread at this point, that any loss of sanity will trigger a bout of madness. But Nora, I'm seeing a face that looks like a 5 or 6 face. If I were to,
I rolled a 5. Ooh. My sanity.
Okay.
So you said that's an intelligence roll?
So this is an intelligence roll, and not unlike the luck roll here that we do at the beginning of the session, this is a roll that you want to fail, which is going to be really hard for you because you have a high intelligence.
I have a high intelligence. Okay.
All right, so it's in times five.
I succeeded.
You succeeded. Wait.
Uh-oh.
That's bad.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yes, so you fully understand the brunt of what is happening, and you will also have a bout of madness. So,
fuck.
Dueling banjos time.
It's the newlyweds. The fiancés.
They were meant to be.
So is she still burning and like...
She is still burning. This all happens within a second. And this is how I imagine this sort of manifesting here. I think, Vaughn, you see this, and maybe it triggers some sort of war memory.
I think I have an idea. Yes, certainly. I saw people, like, covered in liquid fire. If I may, I think it's not just that. I think that... this theory has been evolving in Vaughn's addled brain that he is a full and complete theory of the evil that they're facing is coming into focus for his madness. And he's seeing in the ways, all the ways in which the forces that they're contending with are using holy and pious imagery and perverting them. And the cannibalism is like a false Eucharist. That this person speaking while burning is like receiving a false and diabolic prophecy. It's Moses receiving the law from the burning woman instead of a burning bush. He's terrified by it, but the madness is that, like, I'm beginning to understand. I understand how it all works. I think Vaughn is maybe just, like, unnervingly, like...
Yeah. As Vaughn, as you're laughing maniacally, staring at this, letting this sort of... clash of religion and imagery and everything smashed together in your brain. I think for you, Fayruz, and you can collaborate here with me on this, I think that the way it manifests for you is this sort of stunned curiosity where you're perhaps reaching for the flames.
Yes. And as Fayruz, like, there's flashbacks of Fayruz, like, you see, like, a flashback of her holding that scepter in front of her father, like, days of no sleep on her face. She's like, yes. Yes, this was meant for me. This was meant for me.
She summoned a cat!
I summoned my cat! This is crazy! These demons from the depths of hell! Speak not! Speak not, demon!
Speak not, demon! Back from whence he came!
Stand down, heretic!
Back to thy shoebox with the rag in it!
Back to your unholy realm
back
under the couch!
Back to thy large Amazon box!
All right, so you're seeing all these things as you reach forward and dip your hand directly into the flame, and Vaughn, you see her put her hand into the flame, reach into the burning bush. You all see this.
Whoa!
Is there a fire extinguisher in here? I start
looking for something to put the fire out.
Yeah, is there like we're at a dinner table, right? Or no, we're in a reserved room. We're in like
have a care. Have a care. And Vaughn is like standing up,
doused in gasoline,
knocking over the chair, and maybe just grabbing at whoever's closest. Like the sons of Erin burned strange fires before the Lord, and they themselves were burned.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it right now. Yeah, right now I'm seeing it.
It's all happening. The body is a temple. This is the tabernacle.
Fuck off! Get off me! And I want to grab the curtains that I'm assuming are not doused in gasoline.
Yeah.
And try to wrap them around this woman and like beat her head, I guess. With a...
Right. So you kind of I imagine this gets really sloppy. Chairs are falling over. If there's a table involved, the candle might hit the floor. You're just jumping on her, and as you do so, maybe you, like Feyruz falls over, and it's just a big sloppy mess. Margo, what are you doing?
Probably just searching for a fire extinguisher in the room, if there is one. Like, searching for something to put this fire out.
Troy's Googling the existence.
I looked it up before we started. They exist.
1723.
They definitely exist.
Wow.
Relax.
But they were the size of a small house.
This one you have to crank and it's like, ouch.
I don't know how they work.
So you're just looking for something. And all right, so give me a search roll.
Search.
Is search a thing? Spot hidden?
Yeah, I don't know if search is, but spot hidden.
These hidden fire extinguishers.
40 under 69, so regular success.
40 under 69. I'm going to say that you remember seeing one out in the hallway.
I'll be right back, and I run out the room.
It's okay, I got it. Swat.
You're jumping on, you're putting out the flames, yelling, screaming.
I'm just like, yes, telling us, little boy, just don't listen to her. When she speaks the law, it will be a false law.
Oh, yep, I'll remember that for next time.
I come back in, and I have a fire extinguisher, and I just start spraying it everywhere.
Ah! Oh, my hair!
Feyruz is on the ground. Margo's spraying everything. Carter's on top of this woman. Vaughn is spouting things. The fire is sort of covered by this, and smoke fills the room, and we fade out of this scene. And we fade up. It's daytime. And there's a window. Curtains. It's like fluttering ever so gently. And the breeze, windows cracked, little breeze coming in. And we kind of widen out from there and see Vaughn lying in bed. Vaughn, you look around and you're in your bedroom, the library. As it's known now. And as your eyes adjust to the room, maybe you try to sit up or something and you're like pained, physically pained. And you look over and there is a man standing in the room holding like a scully cap. And wringing it in his hands. And it's your brother.
Bertie?
Vaughn. Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, Bertie, what... My God, have you seen what Mother's done to the place?
Yes, it's much changed from what I remember.
Yes.
I was going to surprise her with a visit, and suffice it to say, I've been caught up on everything.
Yes, I thought you were on Prince Edward Island. Well, apparently Mother is quite bored, but there's no need to worry about me, Bertie.
Who's Oberon?
What? Vaughn is almost like kind of clawing at the bedclothes now.
When I came in, you were still half asleep and calling for Oberon.
Yes.
I didn't want to bother you. I just was sort of standing vigil, I guess you could say.
Just a school chum. A school chum of mine, Bertie. We were in the Fusiliers together. Was I really shouting? Naughty Bertie to go
sneaking around, listening at doorways.
What's going on?
I thought this was my room, dammit. First my mother's moving people in, and then you're lurking around like a damned shadow. What's it?
Vaughn. What's going on with you? You're not yourself. You're not the brother I saw last.
But
I know
I'm more myself than I've ever been. I'm more myself than I've ever been, because I understand your concern, but I understand more than your concern. Don't you see, we're flesh, you and I, but we stand at the center of an infinite regress of concentric rings, marching off into infinity, into vastness, and down into infinitesimal smallness at every point. Yes, we are born, we are christened, we learn our catechism, but all the time there is a force moving in reverse, perverting, decaying, corrupting. The life everlasting is a gift of the Almighty, but a perverse and shambolic undeath is the gift of the Dark One. The chosen seed was taught on Mount Oreb by the burning bush, and I have seen the fires of the Evil One. Yes, it can change the flesh. It can change the flesh and alter the very fabric of the soul. You have been in my prayers, Bertie. You have been in my prayers, and you shall remain in my prayers. Because I believe that perhaps my prayers are the only thing protecting any of us in this fallen world. I believe that I can see the state of the soul. Why are you looking at me like that?
And as you're speaking to him, you see out of the corner of your eye someone else enter the room, and it's your mother. And then you're not sure how long she's been standing there, and she's just looking at you with her eyes wide open. She's like, "Fawn, who are you talking to?"
Mother.
And then we cut to the three of you outside. Carter and Margot and Feyruz are getting some fresh air. I imagine, Feyruz, you are still a little shook. Maybe Carter and Margot are walking you for some fresh air.
I don't think, how do we, Troy, when do we find out what happened to this woman?
Did she die?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to her?
That'll determine what's happened in the past few hours, I think.
Right, so for you guys, your wits are more about you than Vaughn. It's the next day. And
that's a hit point, baby. 1 second.
Just get that sweet hit point.
Yes. Yes.
Boom, 9. Yes.
You would know by now that you put out the fire, but it was not easy, and they called a doctor who came, and from what you last heard, she's still alive, but you do remember, as you were like leaving the room or being pulled out of the room, seeing them lift the curtain, and like she was charred, completely charred, but last you heard, she is still alive or clinging to life.
So would you say she's pink?
She's medium rare. It's terrible. Vaughn was taken to his room. His mother displaced the people that were in his room and gave him every comfort, and she is not allowing any visitors. If you've asked to go up there to check on him, she is like, he's under lock and key.
Okay, so
that's what you are at the beginning.
Yeah, so I feel like at least Carter never went to bed, and just kind of like between Vaughn and seeing Feyruz lose it, just trying to like I don't know what Feyruz is up to, but just trying to keep an eye on her, not be allowed in Yvonne's room, but kind of keeping an eye, just sort of like roaming around downstairs or whatever.
Feyruz has definitely been what if
all of this time, it wasn't that people were just dying because they were uncovering something. What if they were not worthy of the knowledge? And we are. We are worthy of this knowledge.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I feel like I'm worthy of a scotch right now, so Carter's got, like, you know, probably got a bottle from somewhere. It's like, do you want a drink?
Yes.
Is Margot here? Where's Margot?
She's, like, sitting in the chair, like, nodding off.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, worthy. Where's he? Mm-hmm. And she's like, she's been listening to you talk, I guess, all night long.
Think about it, Margot. You and I are in the same order. We have been chosen.
Feyruz. I just thought we... Oh, God.
This is why we have been surviving.
I'll let you guys... You know what? Why don't I give you guys a little... You guys want to talk about something? I'm going to just see if there's more scotch, because this isn't empty now, but it will be. So excuse me for 1 second.
Hey, Bruce, I know you're going through something and you're processing, but we can't just talk about the order. I keep trying to tell Carter that it's not real and making him feel crazy. I'm trying to gaslight him about it.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
There's so much to tell, I guess. I don't know. It's just that so much has happened. But
this must be why. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about why. Why would the two of us, who belong to the same order and unbeknownst to either of us, but I'm sure Father knows. I'm sure Father knows everything. And I'm sure this has all been a test for us to see if we are worthy of this knowledge, because we are just... We're fledgling initiates of this thing, but I tell you right now, with everything that we have seen, we are moving up these ranks. And by, I don't know how long it will take, but I'm sure that you and I will be at the top of this thing, Margot, whatever this is, we have the power to run all of it, and then we will be the ones who will be instructing initiates.
I don't want to encourage this behavior right now, but I agree with all of that. Honestly.
It must be it. But we must... You are right. We must keep it secret because nobody else is worthy of this knowledge.
We don't know the ramifications of talking about it. Remember the guy at the small town that was watching us? Was he part of the order? Would we get in trouble? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. This must all be kept under wraps, because this in the wrong hands. You saw what happened to that woman. She clearly wasn't worthy of the knowledge.
Something like that. We need to come up with a new definition for what the order is for when Carter asks again about it.
Right.
Carter, you're coming back from the bar with your scotch.
They didn't have any scotch, but they had gin, so I was like, I guess it's this or fucking lighter fluid. I'll drink gin.
As you're walking back with your glass of warm gin, give me a spot hidden.
I'll spot the hell out of this hidden. Oh my god! Carter's spot hidden, just so you know, is a 28. I rolled a 24.
Whoa!
Wow. All right, so you're coming back and you're making a quip about them not having what you want. And you look sort of past them, and there is a man standing like in the cemetery. Remember I mentioned that there's like a little family cemetery that's been sort of covered over?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's unsightly for the bed and breakfast, but you can see it. It's not like completely hidden. He's kind of standing there, and he's looking at you, and then kind of ducks behind a wall, but very clearly spying on you?
Motherfucker. Every time I turn around, some dude staring at us. And Carter just, like, downs the entire gin thing and throws the...
Is that Peeping Tom?
I don't know. I'm going to find out right goddamn now. And I start like running. Just like this is the third time that Carter has spotted people watching us. The guy, the people in the car outside of the ill-fated fence jump at the Spice Place, Spice Shack, whatever it's called. And then in Lesser Edale with the guy who parked in a shrub. Mm-hmm. And now this dude. Carter's fucking up to his tits in frustration at this.
You stomp over there. And we come back to Vaughn in bed.
I think, Mother, that the only thing to combat this force is divine love. And as there is an order to creation, so too there is an order of love. There is the love of friendship. Cords of mutual experience that bind us mystically to one another, to Tillinghast and Sauer and Elias. The love generated by mutual understanding makes one worthy to share one's life in this sacred union of matrimony, like Miss Chabron. And then there is another love. Beyond the flesh. The love that I think the angels share. Where the confinements of sex no longer have meaning. And one can commune, as it were, soul to soul. A love that cannot speak its name. For to speak it is to profane it. Do you understand, Mother?
I think I do, son. I'm glad that you've made close friends. You were always a bit of a loner. Good that you have people that you care about and people that care about you.
Yes.
I don't know if that's love, but perhaps I've never quite understood what love is. Everything I've loved has been taken from me. And that is why seeing you return here in such a state, involved in such things that I cannot even begin to understand, I want to make sure that I protect the one thing that is left in this world that has any meaning to me whatsoever. And that's you. Son.
I suppose, Mother, even you can love in your own way.
And Vaughn will sort of take her hand if she'll allow it. And
yes, I am in the middle of a great and important work. A work that I have not chosen, Mother. But a destiny to which I've been called. But I have to admit, I don't really feel myself. Mother, can you come here closer? Closer.
She leans in.
Mother, are you really here?
Of course I am.
Good, good. Good, good, good. Good girl, good girl, good old girl. A packet of cigarettes would be the offing. My God, I'm dying.
Yes. You stay right there.
We cut back to outside, and you're stomping over there Carter, and this
fucking every
gentleman,
goddamn time we go anywhere, this goddamn person's fucking watching us, fucking sick of this shit. And I don't care if it's a ghost, I'm gonna beat the shit out of
this gentleman. Like, turns, but doesn't really have anywhere to go, and just kind of ends up going into the cemetery. And it's not a large cemetery, there's, you know, a dozen or so plots.
Hey, Jeeves, where are you going?
Ross, what does this guy look like?
Huh?
This guy knows he's caught out, and so we'll kind of stop and turn.
Oh, fuck.
And just kind of, he's dressed pretty anonymously. Just a, you know, a suit, tweed, like waistcoat, but it's not natty in any way. Pretty faded. And you can see he's got like a little notebook in his hand, and he's maybe been taking rubbings of some of the gravestones, maybe. And he turns around to meet you, and he's clean shaven. He's got dark sandy hair. Looks to be in his early 20s. Pretty young. And a shock of like curly hair, kind of that could never be tamed by pomade. excuse me, sir. What can I do for you,
Curly Sue? I'm talking to you. What are you doing, peeping on me and my friends? Also, this is a sacred. You're on sacred Villiers land right now. I happen to be friends with a relative of a lot of people that are buried here, so I need a couple answers, starting with your name, why you're Googling us.
With his eyeballs, of course.
Yeah. Google balls, yeah.
Barney Google, then. No, just walking about the grounds. Old matron who runs the place said I could have the run of the spot.
Uh-huh.
I've been up and down. I'm not doing anybody any harm.
Well, listen, you were staring at us pretty hard over there. I just want to know that you're... Look, I'm in a
bit of there's been quite a bit of commotion the past night.
Tell me about it.
I was woken up out of my bed smelling of smoke.
Yeah.
Saw Miss Pink leave this morning.
That's right. So, what's going on in that little... what are you diddling there with your notebook?
Oh, just an interested party. Getting all the names straight, you know.
Are you a reporter? Do you work for the Scoop?
And he just like kind of cracks a little smile at that. It's like, oh, you've met my uncle.
Oh shit. Okay, so you're a Scoop man.
Well, for the moment. I wouldn't exactly call it a scoop to paper a record, but it pays the bills, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, then you...
What about you, Mr. Tillinghast? What brings you out here?
So you know my name?
Well, you visited the offices, didn't you?
Were you there? I just was so focused on your uncle's accent at the time. Like,
oh, yes, my uncle's quite a character.
Yeah.
A big personality. Takes up space.
Yeah.
Very accurate brogue.
Yeah, okay, so were you there? Did we meet, or you're just kind of on assignment?
Well, I don't think we met, Mr. Tillin asked.
Okay.
Well, there's a practice in journalism where a story never really goes cold if you follow the trail. It's easy to see where what papers you've been rifling through and what sort of connects the issues of the scoop that you were looking over.
Yeah.
And when you go back to the scene of a crime like what was going on in Lesser Edale, well, it raises curiosities, don't it?
Were you there and were you in Lesser Edale?
There for a bit. Quite a bit of commotion there as well.
Is your license plate blah, 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 or whatever the fuck I saw that night?
And it's not.
Well, fuck.
Afraid not. Came in on a train, same as you.
Hmm. Well, I could see that you're pretty smart to be following Carter Tillinghast around, jotting down notes about all my adventures and what have yous.
I should hope so. I figure you're maybe the leader of the little outfit that you got going on.
Well, least you figured ways, right, Seamus. That's ways, right.
The name's not Seamus.
Huh?
Wow.
Colin? Lucky.
Two more guesses.
Lucky.
What's the name of the Notre Dame, that thing? No?
I think it's Lucky.
Look, it doesn't matter. My mom was Irish, too. I get it. I'm there with you. Let's, you want to head back to the...
That makes two of us. The name's Desmond.
Desmond. That doesn't... Okay.
Des. But I figure you're, you must be the leader of this outfit. Leastways, your name's first on the card. And he holds up the,
business squad business card.
And the card is doing its job. That's right, sir. You know, we could talk about this later, but I'm in the middle of writing a novel. Sort of an autobiography, but I feel
Favors
like a lot of...
and Margot, you see them chatting during all of this too.
Is he making a friend with the peeping Tom? Just a...
seems like it was a little heated, and now they're like,
yeah, Carter's got his arm around him. Carter's like slapping his back.
Oh, you're writing a novel. Well, if you're in need, if you're a Johnson in need of a Boswell, I'm pretty handy about the typewriter.
Yeah, I heard there's a lot of ghostwriting going on with some of this stuff, where it's like I have the gift of prose, obviously, but sometimes you know, I type so slow, I just got the two fingers. You know, I'm not one of those people that can that spends a lot of time. You know, I use these for other things. I don't know
if Feyruz follows, but at least Margo is stomping over at this point. I'm like, God,
she's like, do we?
Well, I'd love to sit down with an intimate chat with you, Mr. Tillinghast. There's a great deal I'd like to ask you about.
Oh, who's this? Yeah. This is Darby, I think his name was. O'Gillis? What?
Desmond,
sorry.
Desmond Mahoney.
Desmond Mahoney.
No, reach out.
Desmond Mahoney. What business do you have here, Desmond Mahoney?
What business? My business. Just a cub reporter for The Scoop. Think you had the pleasure of meeting my uncle, Mickey.
Oh.
Yeah, remember Mickey Mahoney, that guy?
Sure.
That's his nephew. He's following us around trying to write, like, he's writing more scoops just about our adventures.
Well, what?
Following up on leads left cold.
Yeah, he's a fan.
I thought they weren't following this story anymore.
Well, we weren't. But when people go snooping around the dead story office, poking around dead letters and following up on old stories, pricks curiosity, don't it?
We were following up on the death of our friend.
But that's right, Mr. Jackson Elias. He come around talking about the same stories. But then, I know that you're in contact with Mr. Elias. Yes. I know a great many things, Mr. Broughton. Perhaps we'd like to have a more intimate conversation. Perhaps over a Pisco Sour.
This guy fucking gets it.
Jude, listen here. How long have you been watching us and taking little notes about us and... What else do you know?
Well, it's not that I've been watching it exactly. Miss Sauer, and forgive me being so bold, using your names before I've been properly introduced. Desmond Mahoney, yes. It's more I've been asking about with people who you've been talking to, because you lot make a rather large impression on nearly everyone you come across. You should hear what I heard from a fella named Old Bill back in Lesserita.
Love that guy.
Well, it's just, we're Americans.
Some of
course we're going to make a big impression.
Yeah.
I've been around them for too long, aren't I? I'm like them now.
Well, let me ask you this. What's your end goal here? You're trying to break away from The Scoop? You're trying to start your own paper, The Dig? What do you got going on? What's your angle?
Are you trying to slander us?
No. No slander at all.
Trying to
get to the truth. Well, exposure. Exposure is a nasty business. I suppose things could be set on deep background. But as a reporter, I'm interested in finding out the truth. Because as I'm starting to draw together what it is you're actually after, I know what sort of rag The Scoop is and what sort of stories we publish. And I'm willing to write off most things as the product of a febrile mind. But it seems to me that where you go, chaos seems to follow.
That's us, the mystery squad. Carter Tillinghast turned and pondered. Carter's saying that out loud. You getting this down? He turned and pondered, his square jaw glistening in the British sun, which is pretty rare. Yes. Are you writing this down?
Well, it doesn't shed as many golden beams around these parts as where you've probably been used to. I mean, I read in some of Mr. Villiers' writings exactly how hot the sun can get.
Wait, what writings?
Well, the writings that he left in his room.
What do you think, motherfucker, I want to grab.
Why do you think I checked into the library?
Yeah. I want to grab him by the... That's our friend shit, man. What are you doing? What do you think, you're me? Rooting around and stuff?
You have no idea what you are trying to snoop yourself into. Danger. Is it what you call chaos?
Well, why don't you tell me then, Masara? Which is dangerous as all that. Perhaps the reading public would like to know exactly what they're about to contend with.
Absolutely not.
Well, let's hear him out.
What?
Hey, you gotta let them go. It's like, reading public, you know? I mean, I feel like if he talks about what's going on to people, then maybe people would be more aware of, say, giant black dragons that attack them on the top floor of their hotel room. You getting all this down? Or maybe, like, cults with the fucking tongues flapping around. Which, by the way, now think about it. That voice last night when the medium turned into a... when she got possessed by the ghosts of all these people and was saying, like, tried to cut my tongue off. Think about it, ladies. The tongue cult. It's all coming together.
Do you see what I mean?
And maybe
famous?
You should bite yours.
Do you see what I mean?
Desmond's just...
In any case, Margot, whatever he finds out, what's it matter to us? If he's not worthy of the knowledge, then fate will take care of him for us.
Wait, are you talking about me?
I guess so.
What?
Not you, Tillinghast.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
You want to tag along with us and write about us while we're here, or?
Well, whether or not I write about you, Miss Sire, that's all up to you, whether you'd like to be made the subject of the story. But it's the story itself I'm after. So I'd like to know just what the hell is going on here. Seems to me that what goes on in Lesser Edale, the Vane family, not being too forthcoming about what happened to their daughter, but something tells me that you might know in more intimate detail what precisely happened. No one in the town is invited to that funeral, but tongues do wag if we're speaking of tongues. And as for what I've read in Mr. Villiers' papers, his letters and his journals, which his mother so kindly left in the room to be perused by the common eye, raised a good many questions, let me tell you. Although, after reading them, I have to say that hard to get a good night's sleep.
You're telling me. Can we do a psych roll on like what is his intentions like align with ours or not?
Yeah, sure.
Reading his journals and being so forthcoming about it, it's just like, what?
Because we're not, Carter, I mean, naturally, if we're being chased around a bit and all this crazy shit, we're not going to be like, yeah, buddy, hop on board. We're going to put your name on the card.
I think also because he's young and like knows Mickey and all of that, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
It's like, look, I didn't mean no harm by it. His mother set me in a room.
Oh, I failed.
What are you supposed to do? Sit in a library and not pluck something off the wall?
I want to roll this too.
Yeah, you might as well.
Psychology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or psychoanalysis. Okay, watch this.
Psychoanalysis. What is he really feeling?
Nope.
No.
Carter's just like, this fucking guy gets it.
Can't get a read on this guy.
I could say, you can't get a read on this guy, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think maybe you don't get any depths of his psychology, but he seems like cocksure, but sincere. But he doesn't seem like he seems a little unnerved by what he's read, but like, because it seems to me, Mr. Tillinghast, if you are the leader of this little outfit,
yes,
that what I've been reading is so much fantasy.
Wait, what?
It's right there on the card, isn't it? It's on the card, guys. I can't control optics.
You put your name first.
He penciled that in!
I didn't know it was going to go to print. That's where we're at.
Listen, it was very fun in games with you being like, I am the leader, ha 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 ha. But now we actually have someone writing a story saying that you are the leader.
Think about it, guys. Just put your logic hats on for just one second. I get being all creepy and secrety, and we're talking about orders and stuff like that or whatever
you want
to talk about.
What was that now?
Nothing.
We'll get to that. That's chapter 8. What I'm saying is think about saving some lives, right? Who cares if some of this stuff is out in the open if it means people are going to be more, like, aware of the world around them? Maybe people don't fucking incinerate in front of our eyes all the time,
you
know?
Maybe they all will. We don't know.
I didn't think about that part.
You saw what happened to Vaughn last night. We still have not been able to see him. Some people, they cannot handle the knowledge.
So Mr. Villiers is incapacitated, then?
We don't know.
He's a great man.
I tell you one thing, Desmond, is it?
Yes.
You may be following us around, and you may be writing your big story for your uncle or whatnot for the scoop with an exclamation point as I picture it in my head.
Very much so.
You have not earned your spot in the Mystery Squad, nor are you part of the Mystery Squad.
No, that's for sure.
Such a weird threat.
You can't sit with us.
Well, I'm not looking to join your squad. I just want to know what it is you're after. Why are you so hewn so closely to the footsteps of Jackson Elias, a friend of yours? What exactly is Jackson Elias on the verge of uncovering exactly? It's got you so worked up that you're willing to run from pillar to post, coming across the water all the way over here, and go poking around in the dimmest backwater in all of England.
And before you can answer, I'll say that Giles is walking towards you, and maybe you all notice that enough so that you don't immediately answer his question. And Giles looks at you, Feyruz, and says,
I'm so sorry to bother you. The lady of the house requests your presence, if you wouldn't mind accompanying me.
Where should we all go? Is Vaughn seeing people?
No, just Miss Gibran here.
Of course. If you all will excuse me.
Right this way. And he pulls Favorous away.
I guess maybe we can leave the graveyard too, unless you're here doing something.
I'm getting another drink. This is a bunch of... I was not expecting this to happen. Right now.
Just putting together some of the family names.
He's going through those papers. Margo and Carter, give me a spot hidden. Ooh, you see these papers of etchings.
Come on.
As you know, I'm a fucking nope.
Fail.
Yep.
Damn it. We're too flustered. At least Margo is.
Okay.
Feyruz, you continue off with Giles. And he brings you into the same room where Vaughn spoke to his mother when he first arrived at Eagles Grange, the drawing room or whatever I called it. Mm. And she's sitting with her back to the door, just staring out the window. And Giles lets you in, says, ma'am, Mr. Gibran is here. Thank you, Giles. Close the door. And she stands up and walks towards you and stands maybe like 3 or 4 feet away from you and just kind of folds her hands in front of her. I imagine I don't need to tell you that my son is not well.
He has seemed on the decline as of late. I was hoping you would have good news for me.
He's speaking in riddles and talking to people who aren't there.
People who aren't there? Anyone specifically? May I see him?
Not at the moment. He He needs rest, but you can see him before you leave. I suppose what I'm getting at is, I think he should remain here at Eagle's Grange.
Did he say that, or are you saying that?
Do you love him, Mr. Brown?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you want what's best for him?
Of course I want what's best for him. But I also want to make sure that that is what he wants.
I don't think he knows what he wants, Mr. Brown. I think he is very, very ill and is a danger to himself as well as anyone he is close to. You must see that.
I will see that when I am able to see him.
All right. Then you can talk to him yourself. Right this way.
Gibran. Hello, darling. Hello, darling.
May we have a moment alone, please? She says to his mother.
She says, she kind of waits, hesitates before answering. And, all right. And, Vaughn, you, as your mother leaves and closes the door, and Feyruz kind of gingerly steps towards the bed, your brother is just sitting in a chair, maybe 5 feet away from the bed, just kind of watching, looking at Feyruz, looking at you.
Vaughn, are you all right?
I confess, Mr. Brown, that I am not, I fear. Also, Mother tells me, there are moments I think I must be going mad, but I suppose all of us have felt that over the course of our travels together.
How could it be madness if it's what we are seeing together? How could it be madness when we know the truth and others don't?
Yes. Yes. Precisely. We do know the truth. One fragment of it, anyway. That the conventional world is as yet unprepared for.
It's... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
It feels as though it's swimming into focus. Every time I think I grasp it, it slips through my fingers, like trying to hold water in a sieve.
I know that things are stressful, an understatement, but Vaughn, the world is living behind a veil.
Yes.
We are so close.
Yes. But I know that. I know. I can't tell Mother everything. And she truly think I was incurable. Truly cracked.
No.
But you and I know that I'm not. It's just that I see the way our enemy works by perverting the sacraments of the Almighty. And while I believe that I have been called, perhaps something like the way the Holy Spirit descends on one. To give one the power of prophecy.
Yes.
So too does the evil one corrupt and invade one's mind. Make them work towards his ends. He has done it to me twice already. More times, perhaps.
How so? What do you mean?
Based on what Sarah and others have told me, I nearly killed Tillinghast back in New York. I nearly killed Sarah. And that poor, unfortunate Shipley's. I know that what I have seen is the truth, but I'm beginning to wonder if I'm not rather a burden to you. And perhaps I shouldn't rest for a time. I think that maybe the...
It's all right.
Yes.
No, tell me. If you need time, take it, but know that you are seeing things more clearly than anyone else.
Yes.
We are uncovering the truth. We will find it, and whatever has happened, we will find it together.
We will.
Tillinghast, Sauer. We know things that others can never know. Your mother absolutely should never know. But we know the truth, Vaughn.
Yes.
And if you need to rest, either whether it's for your personal, it's your personal choice, or whether it's even to keep this facade of the things that we have seen, it's stress and you just haven't been rested. It's do what you need to do to keep the veiled.
Thank you, Shabron. I saw it in the war, you know. Men who thought they must be going mad, lunging over the top, volunteering for missions, wishing not to come back. A danger to themselves and others. I couldn't come to this act of service through love on my own. I, of course, have the support of others. And he looks across the room to an empty chair. Who are counseling me to this end.
And Faerûs turns around.
There's nobody there.
I swear to you, I will diligently recover. I will arm my mind with the armor of my faith, with the love which is all that can stand against the dark forces arrayed against us. And when I am myself again, I shall return to our great work. Pray for me that it shall not be too long an interval.
I will, Vaughn. Yes. Perhaps.
And she looks back at the empty chair. Perhaps it is best.
You must go through for us. For all of us.
Yes.
I just needed to hear it from you, you see. Your mother. I just wanted to make sure that this is what you wanted.
It is not that I wish to leave you, Miss Shabron. It is that I do not wish to hurt you.
I don't think that's possible.
Surprising words from someone I nearly shot a few days ago.
We are the ones fighting this. We're the only ones who can fight this.
we're the only ones worthy of this knowledge.
Yes. We have been chosen.
Exactly.
This is not cowardice.
No.
Cowardice would be to surrender, to sally forth unprepared. To walk into the dragon's teeth. I have to thank those near me who have been so kind as to counsel me as to the best course of action. As he continues to look into the middle distance. But you should go. You should go, Gibran.
Alright. Well,
you're going to make me cry, damn it. Get out of here, will you? Don't make me cry in front of Bertie.
Right. You wouldn't want to cry in front of Bertie. No, you wouldn't want to cry. And she's like mumbling to herself as she quietly like, wouldn't want to.
Little ducks went out to play over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack.
And this childhood song is harmonized by Bertie. They used to sing it as boys, but you're only hearing one part of it.
And you just hear the grrrr of the door closing.
Shut the door. And we'll be back right after this break.
Well, we have a one seat at the table open. Turns out.
Where in God's name do we pick up from here? This is unprecedented in what we do here. It just seems to make the most sense with this situation. But I want to continue role-playing a little bit here and see where we get to. We all kind of, us in the audience, know what's going on here, but like, how do we reconcile it? How do we really get to the next step? Mm-hmm. Vaughn is, you all saw it, you know. Now, Feyruz has gone up there and seen, and it's Vaughn being Vaughn, but like, yet again, the minute something goes wrong, Vaughn loses it. And how is Vaughn going to be helpful to you when you're up against, you know, some really dark shit? You know how things ended in New York. If it's a situation like that again, how is Vaughn going to function when he has to deal with it? Like, it just doesn't work. And now someone has fallen into your lap that seems to know a lot about this. Might be a blessing in disguise. So we'll cut back to the outside there, just outside of the graveyard. You guys maybe are moving back towards the bar and continuing your conversation. Where do you want to pick it up there? Mm-hmm. Carter and Desmond and Margot. Feyruz will join you shortly.
Maybe you're like warming us up a bit and we're like not spilling anything, but just being like, yes, Peru was, it was interesting and New York, and we plan on traveling a lot more, actually.
That's where my sort of trade goes dark, you see. So I learned from my raidens what Veliers saw in Peru, or claimed to see. Well, what is it exactly that you saw when you went to New York that had you coming over to London, leckety split?
I mean, listen, the trail of our friend led us here.
Well, just retracing them, retracing Jackson Elias' footsteps there.
You could say that, yeah. Also, we're trying to save the world. But
it's for his book.
No, I mean, well, it's for humanity, but then also the book is also for humanity. the point is, if you're going to tag along with us, if you're going to learn what we know,
Who said anything about tagging along?
Slow down, Carter.
Oh, is that not where we're going with this? Am I crazy?
It's been like 10 minutes.
I know, and he seems to get it. He seems to understand that I'm the leader, which is, I mean, honestly, that's like, he's already top marks, as they would say.
I saw that you were picking up and picking at cold cases, old stories. Thought I might be able to flesh them out just by seeing the sort of research that you'd been doing and interviewing the people you'd been interviewing. That's why I've been sort of tailing you. And it was only after I saw that
the Villiers Manse is close enough to get to that I came here and checked myself into the library. I wasn't expecting you lot to come here after me. But I just, if I've got the opportunity to actually interview you and know exactly what it is you got going on, then that's what I've got a mind to do. If you've got a mind to share.
Well, this is the thing. If we share, we have to know that your mind won't fucking splinter into 1,000 pieces. What's your sanity at these days? No. what are
we doing? What's your power situation? Low, friend, low.
It's got to be an upgrade.
Keep it down the level.
Well, I'm looking out for the kid. I don't want his tiny Irish mind to blow apart.
I'm mostly concerned about blowing our cover while we're here. We're here for like another week or so, finishing up our investigating before we probably move on. And we can't have an article written about us.
No, that much is certain, here. Especially when there's a book coming.
Well, of course.
As we were saying, the article don't have to be about you. You say investigating.
Or about anything that we're doing. We Nothing can't have doing. Anyone be tipped off.
Well, you're on the trail of something, it seems. And I've got my hands around a couple of the threads that you've been pulling. But if you blow this thing sky high, you learn exactly what it is that you're after. I'm willing to help with that investigation. And look, Miss Sarr, I realize you just met me and I've been skulking around. You got no reason to know me from Adam or trust me from anyone. But I got the whole archives of the scoop behind me. I've lived here for quite a while. It could be useful to you. Investigator to investigator?
Yeah.
I don't know. We already have. We've kind of got a full house, you know?
I don't know. I feel like he and Vaughn would get along real
quartet.
Well.
Quartet. Is that what four people are? Quartet?
That's right.
Yes. Still nailed it.
Nailed it. As always.
That's right. Well, I suppose if there's not room for a fifth whale...
I have confidence that Vaughn will snap back out of it.
Oh, he's going to be right as rain. I feel like the five of us... I mean, if this kid's got some leads... Yeah, leads? Tangible leads, as they say? We could use them. As long as you don't write anything about us until we say it's okay.
Feyruz rolls up at that.
Here's Feyruz with the good news!
See.
How was fun?
He will not be joining us for a while. I think he's in need of some recovery. I thought he was fine. I thought he could pull through, but then he said something. And then she looks over at Desmond, turns over to kind of like turn her back towards Desmond and only address Margot and Tillinghast at this part. She's like, he mentioned, he spoke as though his brother was in the room with us. And I realized that he really should take some time to recover, and it is what he wanted. His mother pulled me in and thought and said that, oh, he won't be joining you, blah, 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 blah. And I just needed to hear it from him. And it seems he could really use the time to recuperate.
You're saying that one of the mischief squad's not gonna come with us?
For a short time, I really think. Oh, Tillinghast, if you saw him, you'd... I thought he was fine and that he maybe just needed a night's rest and...
It's just going to be... You say it's just going to be like us, but without Vaughn?
He's not going to bounce back from this?
Well, maybe he will. Maybe he just needs some time.
Could you excuse me? I just need one. One second. I'm just going to walk over here. And Carter just sort of like walks off like 40 feet away. And you just kind of see him staring at like a tree.
I guess they were better buddies. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it breaks my heart too. I don't want to see him.
It's sad, but like Margot has been becoming frightened of him with like the whole being dominated, seeing him almost shoot you. So she's maybe more like, but I guess I understand, and it could be dangerous to keep bringing him around if we care about him.
I want him to be here. He is very useful with investigating, but he could get himself or one of us hurt.
Well, I'm right there with you. I thought he was going to be able to pull through fine, and then he spoke as though his brother Bertie was in the same room with us. He even pointed out to him. And I looked over, and no one was there, and he spoke as though he was in the same room with us. It's very unsettling.
Then suddenly you just hear, "Fuck!" Fuck!
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then Carter comes walking back up. You could see, like, there's a little, like, moisture.
Did you process your feelings? Is that what that was?
I mean, they may have tried to throw me in a flesh pit, don't get me wrong, but...
Oh, yes, the flesh pit, I forgot about that.
She looks over at Dez, sees if you overheard that.
Yeah, you can see Dez just kind of like standing looking at his...
Stop saying these things out loud.
Feyruz just slaps the notepad out of his hand.
Oh.
It's a euphemism, as you know, it's a flesh pit of...
No, it was a flesh pit, whatever, fuck it.
He's into some really kinky shit.
Okay. That's just one down. That's fine. We'll see him again. He's going to get better, and then he's going to join up with us, and it's going to be like it was before. And we're going to be just as strong, and we're going to be just as capable, and I just need another sec. Excuse me. Carter just leaves again.
Not to speak out of turn, but hard nuts over here when folks are slapping your notes out of your hands and what have you. But seems to me that you're about some work, and now you're one set of hands short. You're in the investigating business? I'm in the investigating business. And I've been following these trails myself. It seems to me you're one shy of your quartet, Messar. So I'm happy to play second fiddle in this quartet.
Well, just so you know, you'll have to room with Carter. She looks over at him while he's like screaming into a plant or something.
I lean into you, Marco, and I'm like,
in all my research, I never actually learned about the, not to be insensitive, but where did he actually serve?
Carter?
Yes.
Why would you think? Is this face?
Yes.
Oh. That was from a horse.
Okay, I'm good.
Huh.
All right.
He doesn't like to talk about it.
What are you guys talking about?
Our secret.
Oh, nothing.
All right, well, I don't know what the fuck. What do we do now? This whole thing started. We were trying to check out this manufacturer thing for the safe. You know anything about this, St. Patrick? We got this walk-in safe we're trying to track down.
I'm sorry. A walk-in safe. You're trying to.
Yeah, I don't know how ahead of the curve you are here. This is a test. Henson Manufacturing. That come across your little notes there, Shamrock?
Henson Manufacturing. Oh. I see that I'm gonna have to get used to your particular worldly charm, Mr. Tillinghast.
This is interesting here.
He will grow on you.
This is interesting here. Really? I think this would be a fun way to kind of insert you. Give me a no roll. This is something we haven't really used.
It's
a straight up intelligence check. This guy's been around the stacks. He's been around the back pages of the scoop.
Mm-hmm. I got a hard success.
Oh,
nice.
Oh.
28.
Okay.
We don't even have to go there now.
Hard.
All right. So this is interesting.
Henson like obvious- manufacturing. Yes, I remember.
Henson Manufacturing.
Or perhaps I've been tying up some... Well, I know you've been asking around with Zara Shafiq and the Penhu Foundation. Etc. Yeah, what exactly is the loose end that Desmond is pulling on here?
Yeah, so if you were eavesdropping on their conversation, like I almost want to flash back to your original conversation with Mickey, like we see you in the back. Just like listen, and you were there the whole time. You know, maybe you start following up on this thing, and you're trying to find out any information. I don't think at that point you guys even knew about Zara Shafiq, but you had mentioned Gavigan and the Penhu Foundation, so maybe you were just looking into that. And if you had read his books, and you know, you had found Gavigan's card back there, I'm sure that was in the journal as well. Some of you looked into it, and the guy's squeaky clean. You know, any sort of records you look into whatsoever, super squeaky clean. Let's take it a step further, and let's say that one day you're like, I'm gonna tail this motherfucker. What's he up to? What is he up to? Because you just get this sense that there's something there, and you followed him all the way to Darby, where you made a visit to Henson Manufacturing. That wouldn't be too crazy. You guys found a receipt in his secret room. Wouldn't be crazy that Gavigan went there and he left. That was it. So you looked into Henson Manufacturing and you found out that maybe in your research that the business, Henson Manufacturing, used to be owned by someone named Arthur Henson, and it was sold to Edward Gavigan in 1921. But you tried to look up more information about the sale, maybe the price and any sort of details about the actual sale itself, and there are no records whatsoever other than the fact that Gavigan purchased it.
He purchased the whole manufacturing.
He purchased the whole plant, and the business is listed as the manufacture and fabrication of machine parts. Hmm. And Gavigan owns it, and it appears that Henson took the money and retired.
Interesting.
And you went looking for information on like Henson to see maybe what he's up to. No trace of him anywhere. So he took the money and ran, it seems. And Gavigan bought this manufacturing plant on the outskirts of London, you know, in Derbyshire. And that's all you know. But that's something your new friends here did not know. Okay. You just know that what they knew is, what is it again? There was a receipt for a walk-in safe being built there.
Yeah. Okay. Something about Penhu never really sat right with me. Too clean by half. And with all the disappearances going on, the way I interviewed him back with the original story, something didn't sit right with me. Either the fellow I interviewed or the fellow, his factotum, can't quite remember his name.
Did he have an assistant?
Such an unforgettable
maybe not,
name.
Can't remember. Dim. Sometimes memory fails, but this much, I do remember. It's some manufacturing plant you're talking about. Gavigan owns that. Purchased it from the previous owner. Arthur Henson don't own the concern no more. This is a machine parts manufacturing. But that's a Gavigan concern, that is.
Well, then why did he have a receipt for a safe from the manufacturing plant?
No, it
I
wasn't
think that
from
Margot he, thought it was from.
It wasn't from there. It was from somewhere else, and it was being installed at Henson Manufacturing. So here's the deal, Desmond, right?
That's it.
Oh, man, I'll forget it. The Gavigan, we may or may not have let ourselves into the Penhu Foundation after hours. I may or may not have lockpicked upwards of 27 different locks. Keep that out of this. What you need to know.
Oh, mum's the word, just, Mr. Tilling asked.
Besides just knowing I got the Tillinghast Dutch, is that we found a receipt for a walk-in safe that's being installed at Henson Manufacturing. That sounds shady as fuck to me. I don't know about you, but
the receipt was in his safe, too. He was...
Yes.
Yeah, his smaller safe, not the walk-in safe. I also let myself into that. Actually, that was open, but don't put that in either. Anyway, Margot and I had a great time. What was I talking about?
What I would like to know, Desmond, what was your last name?
Mahoney.
What I would like to know, Mr. Mahoney, is how lawful are you when it comes to breaking and entering? Because I think that's going to be a pivotal part of our
And have you ever
here.
Pissed in an office owned by the government?
And I was like, up.
Well...
suppose the journalists of the more esteemed papers of record go about their business in a gentlemanly fashion. But I don't know if you've read the stories in the Scoop, but let's just say that liberties are sometimes taken to chase a story down. And I suppose, yes, sometimes laws can be bent, bribes can be passed around, and a lock, as Mr. Tillinghast has implied, gets the common touch.
A lot of backdoor locks, yes.
Yes.
All right. Yep, we don't
have a backdoor. If you're
getting into all that again.
Yeah. I think Mr. Tillinghast and I understand what it's like to go around the back door.
Okay, all right. We don't need to.
We did go into the back door together.
That's not
you, us. You let me into the back door.
That's right. Yep. It was both of them.
So anyway.
That's very progressive of you, Mr. Tillinghast.
She's German.
She's German.
So, listen, don't worry about concerning yourself about any of that. What we need to know before you become an official intern of the Mystery Squad is whether or not you can handle the horrors of the night. Do you know what I mean? I'm talking real evil shit. We're not into some just like, ooh, look who the king is snogging. We're talking some serious, earth-shaking, mind-shattering shit that you're about to walk right into. You man enough, Mahoney?
Yeah, what is the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Like, unexplained.
Yeah, what's the weirdest
phenomena?
Shit you've gone through? Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, to answer your second question before we go into this little interlude. Yes, I've pissed in an office.
Oh, thank God. All right. Well, good.
It's in a foreman's office of a shipyard in Belfast.
Now we're talking.
All right.
I've seen some things. I've seen the lengths and the horrors that people would give themselves over to when things start running out of control. I don't think I've got to go into too much detail. If you're asking me if I've seen violence and if I've been in a scrap, you bet yourself. Boyo. But that's right, Tillinghast. I've been up against it a time or two. And if you got my back, then I'll get yours. So let's not call me St. Patrick again.
Did I do that?
You did.
That's
insensitive. You called him a few names that weren't his name.
Listen, again, I'm from Massachusetts. We're all Irish. We get it right.
Oh.
You should see St. Patrick's Day there. Do you guys have St. Patrick's Day over the?
Less of a thing.
More of a hallmark. Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, we dye the river green. It's authentic, is my point. So, regardless, just so the audience knows, my mother was intensely Irish to the point where she would write Kirkovich with a giant O and an apostrophe, which makes no fucking sense because it's Slovenian. Regardless. I just want that out there from a sensitivity standpoint, just so we're all clear. That's my disclaimer.
Legendary St. Patrick's Day parties, too.
She did have some. Yeah, Troy can. Anyway, doesn't matter.
My family still has the glasses.
They were glasses that also say Kirkovich, because that doesn't make
that's
any.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We won't get into it. That's from my therapist. So, great. Just might have bought a sign on our high school campus that said Kirkovich Way my senior year. That was after Troy's gone. You didn't see that. Is that Rob? Is that how you actually spell your name? I didn't know that. Nope. Anyway, here we are. Okay, Mahoney, I get it. But things are going to get a little bit more rough than you're used to. Just prepare your brain, Pan.
Well, you know, the worst thing about this is we have to get new cards made again.
No. He's an intern to the Mystery Squad. He's not earned a right to be on the card. Vaughn stays on that card.
People are going to see Vaughn, and they're going to think that he is Vaughn.
Why would they think he's Vaughn? He reminds me slightly of Vaughn for some reason.
We're just going to have to remind everyone that he is the intern at every time, every introduction.
And he'll work his way up. I don't know how that works. It's probably like Boy Scouts. You get a badge or something.
This is like working at a scoop all over again.
I'll get you a little sash, get some little badges. First time your brain melts, we'll give you a little thing. So, all right, then I think the move is Henson Manufacturing. What do you guys think?
I think that's a splendid idea.
Yeah, and along the way, we could tell you. Here. Yeah, we could tell you all about Lesser Edale and that whole detour.
So those gaps filled in, don't I? And yeah, so let's go
in
down
on 33 episodes.
The Heinz and Manufacturing. I'm very curious to see if they've got a back door.
If they do, I want nothing to do with it.
No, if there's a back door, Tillinghast will find it. Then
I will respectfully decline the back door.
Back door, very smooth.
I go right in the front door as long as it says it's okay.
Front door to back door. It don't matter to Tillinghast. He'll go in any door that's open.
That's not. It depends. Listen.
Why are you getting so flustered? I don't understand.
It's the shitty gin I had to drink. Do you know what gin tastes like?
Gin's
poison.
Lovely.
It tastes like poison. It tastes like licorice poison. And I hate it.
All right, so we're going to Henson Manufacturing.
Yeah, we are.
That
however,
seems, however yeah. I think that, Margot, you've made it clear, Vaughn has scared you at this point. Doesn't mean you're not close, but you're a little off. Carter, this has affected you. This has affected you in such a way that I'd like to set up just a one last scene here at Eagles Grange where we see the door to Vaughn's bedroom come library crack open and you peek your head in and Vaughn is asleep.
Am I by myself?
You're by yourself.
Yeah, so Carter just kind of walks up, sees him. Fuck. Like, I don't know if I've seen him like this. Like, we slept in the same room together and stuff. I've, like, thrown a pillow at his sleeping face, but he doesn't look great.
His color's all off. He's gaunt. He's got, not scars, but, like, marks from battle.
Yeah, and I think for Carter, you know, like, back in Peru, I feel like there was, like, a moment that they had where Carter confessed to him for the first time. It's just, like, I feel kind of shitty about the things that I've done in my life, and so ever since then Vaughn has just sort of been this presence for him that he always made fun of or always jabbed at or whatever, but this fucking dude went to war and Carter's just a con man, snaked his way out of whatever. So I think to see him like this and just to recognize the impact that he's had on him, he's just sort of looking at him, he's like, fuck, Double V, man, we need you, but This is for the best, and you're going to come see us again, all right? And Carter just kind of leans over and gives him a little kiss on the forehead. Comes away. He's like, don't tell anybody about that. And then
as
maybe,
you turn away, he just rolls over in his sleep, and you hear him murmur, Oberon?
And then he just kind of, like, pats his head one last time and then looks, and he sees feel like even though this is like loaned out and now as a bedroom, but maybe there's a photograph of Vaughn. I don't know if it's like from the art, if he's in his uniform or it's just like poster pre or whatever. There's a framed photo of Vaughn, and then Carter sort of looks at it for a second, and then we just cut to outside the bedroom, and Carter has finished tearing out his face from the picture. And has opened up the locket that he has that has a picture of Carter's face pre-accident and the other face of Carter with the mask on. And he takes the pre-accident picture out and he just flicks it to the side and he puts Vaughn's face in there.
Oh my God.
Closes the locket and like gently closes the door and walks out. And he just goes, Mystery Squad for life.
Oh, this is amazing. Awesome. And you get into a waiting car.
Yeah, and just as he's getting in the car, Margo's there. He's like, do I really grow on people?
Yes, like, moss on a wet tree.
That's still growing, though, right? That's still...
like a fungus.
It's flourishing.
Or like a musky smell in a house.
I'm not talking to you.
All right, so the three of you...
She tosses him a cigarette.
You get in the car and it kind of leaves Eagles Grange, and we're watching this all from the porch, right? Like it pulls out, takes off on the way to the train station. And as we watch it, we just see a figure walk into frame, sort of clearly watching you leave. And all we see is their wrist. The very familiar tattoo. And now we cut to a train pulling in to Derbyshire Station. Actually, St. Pancras Station, I think it's called.
Pancras?
St. Pancras? I may have fucked that up, but it's like, where is it? St. Pancras. You roll into St.
Useless
Pancras.
Not Pancras, just Pancras.
You roll into the gallbladder. I confused them.
St. Pancras Station, and it's a bit of a hub. You came through here on your way to Lesser Adel. You switch trains to go to Lesser Adel. You know, it's a direct train, can take you right back to London. I imagine if you left that, you know, now it's probably 3 o'clock. I'll say 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll have you arrive. I think it's easy to believe that Desmond knows the location of Henson Manufacturing. Give you a little bit of information about Derby. It's situated in what's known as the Midlands, on the banks of the River Derwent, for our people who enjoy factual geography. It's a large town with a population of around 130,000, one of the birthplaces of the Industrial Revolution. It is a hub for industry and manufacturing, particularly automobile, aircraft, and railway engineering. So Henson Manufacturing is one of several plants of this nature. But it's the one that Edward Gavigan is interested in. There are hotels, plenty of hotels in the area. I would imagine you'd want to spend the night. I don't know what your plans are, it's 3 o'clock now. Tell me what you want to do.
Rob Kirkovich is freaking out that Vaughn's not with us. I just need that. I just need a moment. It's just hard to picture, like, Troy describing the four of us coming up to this thing, and I just gotta mentally... You should have ended the episode then, Troy! Okay, I'm good. I'm sorry. Let's go.
Yeah.
We roll in.
It's tough. We pan across all four of your faces, and the last one is Desmond. This brand new face.
This, like, spring chicken of a dude who, like...
Shock of curly hair, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Hasn't seen anything terrifying
yet. Cocksure and fancy-free.
Nothing at all. Should we go to the manufacturing and see if they're open, if we can go in first? Just 3 p.m. and maybe they close soon.
Do you want to do the thing where we try to enter the place and ask some questions, or should we go straight to afterwards and breaking and entering?
No, I think there was
a
great idea.
Over breaking and entering. Right?
Yeah, we got to case it. Favors, if I taught you nothing. Here's the thing, is that we had an original plan to go in as if we worked for the company that installed the safe. And
however,
we were going to be like, just checking on our handiwork or whatever.
But we've now come to realize that that's... All right, well...
Oh, wait, because... No, because it's not like Gavigan owns the company that made the safe. We just found the receipt for the company that made the safe and installed it into
his
manufacturing place.
Right.
Right. Oh. So we case the joint, and I promise I will not fuck off and climb some fences and...
Listen, you do you, baby. Whatever comes to your mind. I mean, if there's anything we've learned now, we just got to stick true to who we are, right?
It's worked out for us thus far.
Yeah.
I think that maybe two people should try to approach the plant, and then maybe two people watch from afar, just because, like Desmond said, we are very noticeable bunch.
We do seem to be followed around a lot. And she just kind of looks over at Desmond.
Guilty is charged. So you're saying you want us to actually go in the front door then and have this little meeting you're describing?
Or we just go in watch the back from door outside? Later.
All right.
This is what we do.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, I volunteer myself, along with whoever wants to come with me, to be a representative of Ernest Whitfield and Company from Birmingham. Obviously, I don't have a Birminghamian accent, but we'll
just
say...
I suppose it's the only native of at least a relatively adjacent island.
Oh, yeah. Carter's like, all right, you're English, right? Technically? Come on.
when you say you're English, right? Like you just see like a vein bulge in his forehead.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you guys love English people. Yeah, not you exactly. Want to come in with me?
Not precisely there, Tillin asked, but and also not from Birmingham, but takes all kinds. Are you just a backdoor man, or are you good at doing the talking as well?
I can do everything, pal. That's my thing. That's what I bring to this squad.
Well, all right. Seems that you're the face, then. Lead on. Well, give him the business.
Margo,
and you watch.
Margo, yes, why don't we try to see if anybody is watching us or if we're being followed, and we can kind of lay low in one spot and make ourselves unseen.
Yes.
So as not to distract any... Not to attract any more attention.
Yeah, if you guys get a sense of the perimeter, you know, yes. Weak spots, all that stuff.
Perhaps
find
by the back door.
A nice spot. A nice spot to keep an eye on everything.
That's fine.
And
or a front door. Or a welcoming front door. Whatever you want.
I'll have my camera out just in case anything goes on. And
splendid. We're just two ladies walking about town.
I love
and
it.
And then you don't see us. We're gone.
You can take a tram, you can take a cab, but we'll just get you over there. Since your manufacturing lies along the Otto Exeter Road, heading west toward the town of Mickalover. As you approach, maybe you hop out of the cab a block away so you can walk on foot. There is a 10-foot high brick wall surrounding the premises of the premises the premises and the perimeter of the entire manufacturing plant. There is in the front, what would you call the front, the large wrought iron gates that maybe have provide access for vehicles or horse-drawn carts, and that's shut. But as you're looking around, you do see a little small gate on the side that's unlocked. And there is a guard posted up there, just standing at the gate, the sort of side gate that is just for foot traffic.
A guard?
Mm-hmm. Looks like there's several buildings on the other side. It's hard to see over the fence, but you see like one large building, maybe some smaller buildings in this area.
Can I roll I don't know if spot hidden works, but just like a spot where to try to find a spot where Feyruz and I can like lay low that no one's going to see but has a good view of everything.
Mm. Yeah, man, if you could get like some height, you could kind of look over. Give me a spot hidden.
Spot hidden. Whoa, did I roll a 4? I roll a skull and then a 4.
But then skull being 0?
Yeah.
That's
a double zero for the skull. All right, so, and what is your spot hidden? That must be extreme, right?
Oh, yeah, 69.
Nice.
I love saying 69.
So you do see, like, across the street, there's this, like, dilapidated building that looks completely uninhabited, like kind of under construction or maybe being repurposed. And it does have a couple of fire escapes. You're like, that's not conspicuous, but if we went over there and climbed those fire escapes, you could really get a bird's eye view into what's going on over there. But you need to move stealthily so people would be like, hey, what are you doing in that abandoned building? Otherwise, there's plenty of places away from that little side gate and away from the main gate where you could walk around. You just can't see and not be like stand out at all. It's just going to be hard to really see over the fence into what's going on over there. How many buildings? What are the entrances and exits? Just based on that wall. Yeah, you're really, your only good bet is to like try and sneak over to where that abandoned building is.
What do you think, Feyruz? Let's climb up the fire escape. No one will see us.
We can go tiptoe through the window, which is, what year is it?
1925?
Five years later.
You know, that has a nicer ring to it. You can make a little song, maybe.
I know.
Give me a little
window.
We'll work on it.
We'll work. Work in progress. We need to do something to entertain ourselves while we're spending so much time on recon.
Staking out. All right. So
yeah, can we just stealth our way?
Yeah, let's see.
Where are you going?
Yeah, who's got...
Oh, them. Got you.
Yes.
See yeah, just for, just for shits and gigs, who's got the worst stealth?
Uh-oh.
I've got a 60.
Carter,
I have 46.
Carter 46? Leans over to Dez. It's like, watch this shit. Get ready. Get ready to do this all the time.
We are professionals.
Yeah,
so.
Get ready to get your mind blown.
Right.
All right, so you have a 46, Kate, and what do you have, Nora, for stealth?
60.
All right, so give me a roll, Kate, and see a little group stealth.
Yes.
Did we both roll or just...
Just kidding. We're going to do a group stealth, yeah. So, worst stealth.
That's a 66 over 46, but I've got 24 luck. I could spend 20 of it.
Sure could.
It's up to you.
I don't want you to be afraid of failure. It just might mean that you're clumsily over there.
Could also push.
I push.
Okay, what do you do different?
I push.
And making this shit.
I realized that maybe we're being like a little noisy, and I'm like, I'm trying to show off in front of the new guy. Mm. Like, oh yeah, we know what we're doing. So I try harder to
take off those earrings.
So bad.
Earrings are so dangly. They make so much noise.
Oh yes, of course.
The big chunky earrings.
You can't Lord. Sneak with earrings on, and I my trench coat, I try to like bunch it up so it's not just like swaying everywhere. And
maybe your sawed-off shotgun's too loud, so you throw it in a gutter.
No,
now that's never. That's a good push roll.
Nice try.
This
Troy.
Is too loud.
We got a hard thing.
Not gonna need this.
Maybe I do that. Like I kind of readjust my trench coat, and you see her open it, and you see the shotgun.
Yeah, Mahoney just sees the shotgun.
See Mahoney
bang.
Just like Mahoney's eyes widen. He's like, oh, no.
Okay, I think I might have got to.
You're decide. In the mystery squad now, motherfucker. Get ready.
Who did you think you were dealing with?
Yes. Very, very sneaky.
You lot do make it interesting.
Oh, that's correct. But it doesn't matter, because I did worse.
You did worse. You deserve it for that push draw. all right.
Damn it. Wow.
So
I'm extremely impressed with Margo Sauer, unless something happens right now.
I try harder. I stealth even harder. All right, so here's what we're going to say. One of the things I want to really play around with is like failing forward, right? Because you can fail, fail like, oh, you don't know, or like, oh, you didn't do it. No, you do it, but something bad happens. And of course, with a pushed roll, something really bad happens. So here's what I'm going to say. It's like, you get over there and you feel like you're fucking James Bond. You find a little like opening in a wall that they must be repurposing. You're able to slide in and very easily walk up the stairs inside of this building and then just step out onto the fire escape. And it almost felt a little too easy. But the two of you are up there and you look down and in and you see two large structures dominating the yard. Looks like there's a large building and then a shed, a smaller building to the side, like a shed, but they're close together. And then beyond these at the rear is a much smaller wooden shed and what is pretty obviously like a toilet block, like an outside bathroom. And so it's just those four buildings, and there is no one walking around outside, but there is like steam coming out of pipes. There are lights on. You can't really see. There's no the windows are all covered, but you can see that there's stuff going on in there, but you don't see anybody walking around except the one guard at this side gate.
This was easy. Look at us. We can see everything.
Yes, if only there was a way to tell them there was only one god.
And Desmond and Carter, what are you doing?
I'm just like, see that? See how well they did that? That's why we let them vote now. Because they are capable.
Wow.
They are capable of so much. Do you know what I mean? That's why they got it. That's why, I mean, they earned it, you know?
It's a new world. It's a new world, Dylan asked, yeah.
Women can sneak around just as much as men can, and he's just like
wearing
giving like
pants,
big,
no less,
big, giving big thumbs ups to them. All right,
quiet and smooth as quicksilver. All right, wow.
Yeah, let's get in. Let's walk into this. Let's just go right through the front door. the front door.
You have a cover story planned or taken off your lead?
Yeah, this is what we were sort of talking about, is that we are representatives of Ernest Whitfield and Company, Birmingham.
Right.
And the receipt said that this thing was installed 3 years ago, but we'll just say that we're on an annual checkup, and then we can act like, oh, did they not come a year ago? That's on a fucking us. And then we want to get a sense of where this thing is and why it even exists in a manufacturing plant.
Too right.
You ready, rookie?
Ready as I'll ever be. Here we go.
All right.
All right,
this
so you
is
walk
the experience
up.
That interns get paid in, I suppose.
There's just, this sour-looking guy standing there, and as you approach, he stands up and, you know, kind of puts his body in the walkway. Uh-huh. He's like, he's not. I forgot we're in England. He can't be like, hey, sorry guys, can't come over here.
No, he can't. It's the same guy as you from the prison.
Can I help you?
Hi, Biggins. Yes, I'm a representative of Ernest Whitfield and Company. We installed a large safe on your premises about 3 years ago. We're doing one of our annual checkups to make sure everything's tip-top in terms of, what have you, like joints and other mechanical intricacies. It's all very technical that's inside this walk-in safe right now.
He leans over into like a little box and pulls out a clipboard with some papers, and he's like, oh, I don't have any appointments through Whitfield.
Did they not put through an appointment for us?
God damn it,
well,
they did it again.
Isn't that just the way with the Home Office? You know how it is. Big wigs up there in the top floor never know how to back up a little guy trying to do his job, what?
Carter's just sort of like, yeah. Like,
this sort of good.
Taking this guy in, like,
alright. Look, I'm going to level with you, since certainly the boss is what sent us out here. Certainly didn't. Some of these safes, see, have been made over the past 3 years with a design flaw. If we don't find this, then this thing's pregnable as all get up. Now, you know from me that if someone breaks into this thing, it's not going to be themselves that they're going to blame. It's going to be the likes of us. So, you just let us in, and we can circle back and let them know what a grand job you did keeping the place tight as a drum.
Both of you give me a fast talk roll.
Oh, shit.
That was good.
This is not
the fastest talk I've ever heard.
You don't think it's more of a charm?
Well, that was a failure, but this is my first outing. I've got to make it. I feel like this is the moments the pushes are made for.
All right, so let me find out. What did you, Carter, did you beef it?
My fast talk is a fucking 5. So, no, I didn't get it.
Really? That's what mine is.
I got to persuade and charm. That's what Tillinghast is all about. Fast talk, my ass. All right, so fine.
Well, the new guy, he kind of jumped in there and took over. What tactic would you how would you change this to like really to merit a pushed role?
From seeing him be all skeptical,
it's tricky. It's always a tough question.
Vaughn was the fast talker. Shit.
I think his fast talk is almost the same. But let's see. Yeah. Well, how would you really go for it? I mean, he was trying to do like a populist us against them sort of thing. Let's see. What is maybe a reporter would normally get into this sort of thing by trying to charm their way in.
Maybe the guy's like, listen, I don't have any appointments here, and Mr. Marshall's already gone for the day, so you'd have to have an appointment to come in here. So I'm really sorry, I can't let you in.
That's what I'm telling you. Is we got an appointment, see? So
I don't have anything written down here. It's the thing.
See, here's the problem. There's been a communication breakdown. Now,
evidently,
that's right. See, not your fault, not our fault. Someone in between.
Okay.
So just. We're going to go in there, have a word with them, save the bacon of this whole operation by pointing out the design flaw in this little safe of yours. And what was your name?
My name, Witherstone. Mr. Witherstone. And what were your names?
Miles O'Connor.
Stephen Petrie.
Stephen Petrie. How do you spell that?
Like it sounds. Stephen is with the PH.
An H, yeah, I wouldn't have thought an H. All right, Peter.
No, PH, PH.
PH.
This is a long shot. This is almost me trying to, like, do a Blades in the Dark-esque flashback at this moment. So
right.
Could I just be like, why don't you call my boss at Hamster Manufacturer, and I'd give him the number of the scoop?
That's a good push drop.
And hoping against hope that this sort of thing happens all the time, and that when my uncle answers the phone, he's going to back up whatever story he hears on the other side.
All right, so that's a phenomenal push roll. Yes. All right, so give me the push roll, okay, and see what happens.
Here we go. Success.
Oh, my God.
A regular right. Success.
So he's like, you know, I'm really, the boss isn't here. I can't let anybody. I'm happy to call, though. Everything. Hold on. What's the number again? And he calls it.
And I'll even jot it down for him. Right here. You can tell the operator that's the number you're looking for. Birmingham-based, of course, but there's a London office.
Who am I asking for?
Well, you'll be asking for Mr. Mahoney.
Mr. Mahoney. All right. Hold on.
Or actually, it would be, I think in situations like this, maybe there's a cover name.
Yeah.
That
precedes
all this stuff. So yeah, be Mr. Bryson.
Mr. Bryson, all right. Hold on. It's ringing. Hello, can I speak to Mr. Bryson? Yes, I have two of your associates here. Well, Mr. Petrie and Mr. What was it again?
O'Connor.
Mr. O'Connor. They say that there might be a problem with the safe and that they had an appointment, but I don't have any appointment listed here. And my boss, Mr. Marshall, is not around, so I can't approve this. Do you remember, do you know anything about this? And all you hear is,
that's my Uncle Pepper
and Hardy. On the other end of the line.
Oh, God.
All right. All right. Very well. Okay. All right. Well, thank you there, Mr. Bryson. All right. Have a good day. All right. So it appears that you, your story, your checks out. You do have an appointment. Unfortunately, it's nothing that I can approve until I speak with Mr. Marshall. However, Mr. Bryson informed me that this is a legitimate situation we should be concerned about. So here's what I can do. I can, phone Mr. Marshall and, we can set you up for an appointment first thing in the morning. If this is a concern, we want to make sure we get you in there right away. Would that work for you? It is above my pay grade at this point to let anyone in without Mr. Marshall's knowing.
Certainly, yes. Certainly. Now, of course, we'll keep that appointment. Feel free to make that for us. But it'd make everyone's job a lot simpler if we could just have a once-over of it, just to make sure that we know that the flaw that we think is in your safe is in fact there. If we could just have a look at it.
It would suck if it got cracked tonight, you know, before we get a chance to come in.
Wouldn't it be the way?
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but I've got the Irish accent. I appreciate it, but
it rubs off.
Thankfully, we have two night watchmen that cover the premises at night, which is information that anyone who was thinking about breaking in would probably really want to know.
There are two night watchmen. Front and back door?
Yes, front and back door. They take turns walking the perimeter of the inside and the inside of the main workshop. So I'm not too concerned, though I do appreciate your concern here. Unfortunately, I am under strict orders not to let anyone in without...
I'm clear. The safe itself. Now, in my records, it shows that it's in the in Mr. Marshall's office. Am I correct in that?
Oh no, that's false information. The safe is in the workshop itself.
Of course.
Mr. Marshall's office is a part of the workshop, but the safe is I don't really know much about it, but I've seen it. It's in the workshop.
Keep getting all this false information. We got to fix our lines of communication.
Yeah, evidently.
Surely. Well, ours is but. Not to question why Otis is about to do and die. They make the messes, we clean them up, right?
That's just because he and I are foreigners. Do you know what I mean? Like, sure, we're always just treated terribly.
Right, no, I understand. I'm sorry God. I couldn't be of more help, but we'll say 10 a.m. tomorrow. Is there a number I could contact you at, or are you staying in the area?
No, we'll come by at 10. We'll find a place to. What do you? Any recommendations for? Is there a nice Waldorf Astoria nearby?
There's no Waldorf here in Derby, but there is. There's the old Bell Hotel in the town center, and that's the one that most people stay at. There's also the Georgian House Hotel, a little bit quieter, but a lot of history in the old Bell Hotel. Some say it might be haunted.
No thanks.
Check those out. And listen, I would love to chat more, but the men are just finishing up for the day. And
you do your job. We've done ours. We're both. We're all three of us. Workmen, blue collar.
It's been a long day. And as he's saying that, two guys come up, and he waves to them, and they come in to the past the gate, and they walk towards the door. And as you're standing there, you see the doors open, and like several working men are coming out. And he's like, gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm sorry I can't be of more service right now, but it's a change of shift. Everyone's off for the day. But we'll see you at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah? Right. Yeah. You've been very helpful. We'll see you right at 10 or right before. In our line of work, if you're on time, you're late.
Oh, all right. have a good night. And he waves you off, and you just see like a dozen or so men, and you can't tell like how many are workers and how many are guards. It seems like there's a good amount of guards as well as these workers. And
are we getting the sense that there's people working there while guards are also guarding a machine shop?
Yeah, there's like a lot of security along with these workers. And you see the workers sort of file off one way, and the guys that are dressed in the obvious garb of guards go another way, and the
Can
workers
I roll
all go to like
psychology on the guards that we see walking by.
Yeah.
Extreme success.
Oh, shit. Oh.
6 under 40.
Whoa. They're eyeing both of you very suspiciously as they come out, and also looking at their coworker who was chatting with you. But otherwise, you don't see any guns on them or anything. But they just seem a little focused, laser focused. Whereas the workers are like heading off to a nearby pub.
Okay, interesting. Great. Seems like a safes, a guard staff that dwarfs a naval fortification. Strange for a machine shop, don't you think, Mr. Tillinas?
It's a little weird. I've got a couple notes on how you handled that situation, but for the most part, I think you did okay for your first time.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Tillinas. As an intern, it's always good to get paid in the inestimable coin of experience.
Yes, but yeah.
I'm not expecting that. I'll be paid when this story comes out. For now,
you did all right.
I only get expenses, so I hope you're not planning on staying in the Waldorf Astoria.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever been a ward? Do you know, like someone, you know, like where someone take like an older man takes a young rapscallion under their wing and just teaches them so that they can carry on in their footsteps. You ever been in that situation?
I have, Mr. Tillinghast.
Oh shit!
And he gets a haunted look.
Yeah, forget it. I don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Sometimes an older man comes to you.
No.
Weaving a tale of utopia.
I'm all right.
Of a homeland that should be free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do
that's
things
a bummer.
That make it so you have to get smuggled out of the country over. But I've said too much.
Yeah, that sounds like a shitty situation. Let's find out. Let's find out what the deal is with this hotel.
So maybe you walk over in the direction of the abandoned house or the abandoned
Carter starts
building.
Going, caw, caw, caw.
Why is he doing that? We need to see this. We saw them leaving, so we're coming back
down.
Yeah,
but before that, can I just do like a listen roll to see that like nobody was around knowing that we were there in the building?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe if somebody else was in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck, I failed.
You felt so good, Faberus. No one.
Oh, you guys.
You nailed it.
Crushed it.
I'm sure you're right, but one can never be too careful.
Yeah, you see them coming away from Carter and Desmond. You see them coming away from there, and maybe they give you a signal, and the two of you walk back into the building and down, and you hear a noise behind you, and you just turn, and you don't see anything there, but you do get this weird feeling like you were, like someone's watching you. Maybe you take a step back towards that sound. You don't see anything. And so you just wave to the two of them, and four of you meet up and walk off to hatch your plans for the evening. And we black out. And we come back up on Vaughn in bed. And there's a doctor by his side. And the doctor is injecting him with something, maybe a sedative, mild sedative. And you see Vaughn sort of relax, and his clothing is a little disheveled, like maybe he was having an episode and needed to be calmed down. And his mother is standing there watching. Her eyes are a little red. And doctor nods at her, and then we hear this kind of like a 1920s phonograph. It's like, two little ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 but only one little duck came back. And everyone leaves the room. And Vaughn opens his eyes and just like walks over to the window and looks out.
One little duck went out one day over the hill and far away.
And he's just looking out over the grounds.
Mother duck said, quack, 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 but none of the five little ducks came back.
And as he's standing there, Birdie comes and stands beside him and puts his hand on Vaughn's shoulder and looks out the window with him. And if we're looking at like a wide view from outside, we see the mother come out, maybe look up in the direction of the window, but can't see Vaughn. Just looks over at the grounds.
Sad mother duck went out one day over the hill and far away.
And we just follow her gaze over to the cemetery.
Sad mother duck said, quack, 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 and all of the five little ducks came back.
And we just see a headstone that says, Bertrand Villiers, lost at sea near the coast of Prince Edward Island, dated 7 years ago. And we'll see you next week.
So sad.
I'm traumatized.
To Vaughn.
What a joke. May he swiftly recover. God.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. We'll be right back.